We now hear God's word, and Rachel and Matthew Plush are going to read to us from Isaiah 49, Matthew chapter 5, Philippians chapter 2. And note the way in which light is the common theme.
Right, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 5 and 6. Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He'd made me his servant to bring back his people, to bring back the scattered people of Israel. The Lord gives me honour. He is the source of my strength. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you a light of the nations, so that all the world may be saved.
I'm reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are like lights for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a lampstand where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. And the second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be innocent and pure as God's perfect children, who live in a world of corrupt and sinful people. You must shine among them like stars lighting up the sky, as you offer them the message of life. If you do so, I shall have reason to be proud of you on the day of Christ, because it will show that all my effort and work have not been wasted. This is the word of the Lord.
So let us pray. O God, our Father, we have affirmed that we have heard your word. Help us to continue to hear and to see what you would have to say to each one of us and indeed to our church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The other day, I googled the phrase Christian light bulb jokes. And I came up with the following. How many charismatics does it take to change a light bulb? 21. One to actually put the bulb in and the other 20 to share the experience. How many Anglo-Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None, they use candles. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? The whole church needs to vote on it. Well, on this first Sunday of a new church year, let me remind you that as Christians, we're not into changing light bulbs or whatever might be the ecclesiastical equivalent of playing at church. We are in the business of changing the world. And the key to changing the world is bringing light to the world. My text is found in the words of Jesus, Matthew 5, 14 to 16, where Jesus says, "You are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on the lampstand, where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people, so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven." So reads the Good News Bible. What about Eugene Peterson's The Message, a paraphrase that sometimes hits the spot? Listen to it. "Let me tell you why you are here." Yes, let me tell you, you members of Central Baptist Church, why you are here. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. Well, on the basis of these words of Jesus, I want to say four simple things. And they've got to be short too, because the kids are coming back for communion today. First of all, Jesus, as the light of the world, brings hope. It's fascinating to see the way in which Matthew introduces the ministry of Jesus. In Matthew 4, 12 to 17, we read of how Jesus began his ministry by leaving Nazareth, where he was brought up, to go to Capernaum, a town by Lake Galilee. And at this point, Matthew then quotes the prophet Isaiah. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the dark land of death, the light will shine. And then immediately Matthew adds, from that time, Jesus began to preach his message, turn away from your sins because the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, for Matthew, Jesus is the bringer of light into the world. And the clear presupposition is this, that without Jesus, there is darkness. That without Jesus, there is gloom. There is no hope. Now, that was certainly true of first century Galilee. For centuries, that part of the world had been occupied by one foreign power after another. Freedom was but a dream. And then Jesus came, preaching about God's kingdom, about God invading this world with justice. And all of a sudden, people discovered hope. Now, we live in a very different world today. And yet, for all the differences, it is still a dark world. Think of those riots we've had on our streets. Think of the threat of terrorism constantly with us. Think of the fruitless fighting that goes on in the Middle East. And famine and death that continue to rear up their ugly heads in all parts of the world. Into such a dark world, Jesus brings good news. The good news of the kingdom, the good news of God at work, the good news of the difference that God can make, not just to individual lives, but to the lives of communities, to the life of nations, to the life of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. That, my friends, is good news. For it means that he brings hope, he brings direction, he brings purpose. He brings people back to God. Jesus, as the light of the world, brings hope. Secondly, we are to be lights in this dark world. You, said Jesus, are like light for the whole world. Grammatically, that is a statement. But actually, it is also an imperative, an order. We, the followers of Jesus, are to reflect the light of Jesus in our dark world. Yes, we are, strictly speaking, not light itself. We are, as it were, a window through which Jesus showcases his light, through which Jesus brings hope into this world. Our task is to show the difference that Jesus can make, and in so doing, bring hope to others. Now, it's great to see you all here this morning. But in fact, your Christian duty has not been done. Rather, first and foremost, your Christian duty is to shine like light on Mondays, Tuesdays, and right through the week. And notice, Jesus says quite clearly that there is no place for secret discipleship. He says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on the lampstand, where it gives light for everyone in the home. Now, when Jesus was saying those things, most people lived in one-roomed houses, without electricity, of course. It was dark. But within the main room, there would be a small clay oil lamp, which would be burning, and it would be placed on a fixed lampstand. And, of course, the glass thing you'd do with it is to put the light under the mixing bowl. Or actually, it was the bowl where grain, holding 9 litres of grain, could be stored. If you did that, The room will be in total darkness. In the same way, your light must shine before people, said Jesus. We must let our light shine. It's possible that Jesus was actually making a contrast here, contrasting his disciples with a godly group of people who were a dead, a dead loss. Jesus may well have been contrasting his disciples with the so-called Qumran community, a Jewish renewal movement based on the shores of the Dead Sea. Now, these earnest people called themselves sons of light. They love God. They did their very best to please God, and they thought that the best way to please God would be to withdraw from the wickedness of this world and be a holy little community in the desert. But in fact, they failed. They failed because they failed to let their light shine. We are to be like light in this dark world. It's not enough just to concentrate on private, personal holiness. We are to let our light shine. Thirdly, we are to shine together. When Jesus said, "You are like light for the world," he wasn't picking off individuals in saying that. Rather, he was speaking to all the disciples together. He uses actually the second person plural. Indeed, in the underlying Greek, Jesus uses the second person plural pronoun. He highlights the word "you" together. You in your life together are to shine. The reality is, my little light is pathetic. Your little light is pathetic. But put a group of pathetic little lights together, we can shine. That's what Paul had in mind when he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, verse 14. He said, "You must shine like stars lighting up the sky." Not just one little star, lots of little stars shining. And that's what Jesus had in mind when he speaks of a city built on a hill. He has in mind not one light, but many. You know what it's like as you're coming from London down the A414 and you think this goes on and on and on forever, doesn't it? Then all of a sudden, you begin to see light. Not one little light, lots of little lights that are Chelmsford. In preparing for the sermon, I came across some words of Marcelino, a peasant living in the Nicaraguan town of San Miguelito. And he wrote, or said, "A lit-up city that's on top of a hill can be seen from far away, as we can see the lights of San Miguelito from very far away when we're rowing at night on the lake. A city," he said, "is a great union of people. And as there are a lot of houses together, we see a lot of light. And that's the way our community will be. Together, we can make a difference." And fourthly, we shine by the way we live life together. Your light, said Jesus, must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. Yes, there is a place for words. Clearly, there is a place for us to talk about Jesus. But words of themselves are not enough when it comes to pointing to the difference that Jesus makes. As one commentator puts it, it is only as the church genuinely proclaims Christ as Lord, that is, not by mouthing theological platitudes, but by manifesting his life in its life, that the church can truly be the light of the world. Well, let me finish the quote from Marcelino, the Nicaraguan peasant. Listen, "A city," he said, "is a great union of people. And as there are a lot of houses together, we see a lot of light. And that's the way our community will be. It will be seen lit from far away if it is united by love. If it is united by love. Or to return to Paul's letter to the Philippians, he doesn't simply say, shine like stars. He says, God's people shine like stars when they don't complain or argue together. Wow. Or to quote Peterson's paraphrase, now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Come along to the church picnic. Show that you are a community and not a bunch of individuals. And incidentally, one would, you know, we've got to learn to live together, because one day we're all going to be together in the kingdom that is to come. You know, in heaven, we're all together. We're sitting together at a massive banquet. We better get on with one another now rather than wait for then. I love our present church strapline. Hikmat, you don't know it, I think. We say Central Baptist Church, a place to belong. People in Chelmsford are searching for love, are yearning for friendship, are longing for community. There are lots of lonely people around. And the good news is that Jesus can create communities which are characterized by love and friendship. But we have to play our part. We must let our light shine. Only so can we bring hope to others. So Jesus said, you, the members and friends of Central Baptist Church Chelmsford, are like light for the whole world. That is your task. That is what you're here for. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on the lampstand, where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. That's the agenda for this term. Let's pray. Father God, we've seen the vision. We see what Jesus wants us to be. Our prayer is that you will help us to put flesh and bones, as it were, on the vision, to implement it, to be the kind of people that you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen.